Uploading. Tsunami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man. I am Ajito Ryo Master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestors.
On the Absolution Network. I'm, of course, your primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis, and this is episode 38, and on this episode, we review Air Gear. This, of course, all after a unofficial, unannounced hiatus of a couple weeks. Yeah, guys, I'm sorry about that. It was just a collection of things combining that really made it impossible to watch stuff and be able to review it. It was really a combination of work, the high holy days, and family staying over to visit for 2 weeks. That just really made it impossible. So I apologize for that. But, on the bright side, you're going to have not only this Tom's Prerogative episode out this week, but there's a Absolution Network special I'm releasing either on Friday, which is tomorrow, or Saturday. So check that out. But like I said before, on this episode, we are reviewing Air Gear. Now, Air Gear is another one of those favorites of mine from the early 2000s with animation done by Gonzo, based off the manga by Oh Great, who's also known for doing the Tango Tenge manga. But yeah, it's one of those animes I really do like. Like I said, I have a couple manga volumes. But also, it's one of those animes that falls into the trap that when it was made as the manga was not complete, and it's a continuing manga, and so the ending is kind of abrupt, but again, we'll get to that later. But, it's really interesting, because I actually haven't watched the anime since, I would say, 2006, and I don't even think I watched the entire anime. I think I just watched a couple episodes. Not even a couple episodes, but I think I only watched up to the Behemoth fight, because I don't even remember the last episodes of the series. So it was definitely fun to go back and watch this after so long of not watching it. So let's get right into the review and stuff, and we start with cast and synopsis. Air Gear, starring Chris Patton as Isuki Minami, a.k.a. Iki. Lucy Christian as Ringo Norimano, Monica Rial as Simka, Clint Bigum as Kazuma Mikora, Greg Ayers as Onagi, Mark X. Lowski as Isa Mihotoki, aka Bucha, Blake Shepherd as Akito and Agito Wanajima, Shelley Colleen Black as Miken no Yamano, Hilary Hag as Shimaumi no Yamo, aka Umi, and Christine Ogden as Rika Noyemano. And finally, Jay Hickman as Spitfire. The plot for Aragear, a new fad by the name of Air Trex, a futuristic evolution of aggressive inline skating with motors in them, has swept the nation's youth, and all over gangs are being formed that compete in various events using their ATs, as they're called. Iki is a middle school boy who is the toughest Street Fighter punk and leader of the East Side Guns. On top of that, he lived with four gorgeous sisters who took him in when he was a kid. But what Iki doesn't know is that the girls are part of one of the most famous AT gangs, Sleepy Forest. It doesn't take long for Iki to find out about the world of Air Trex and is propelled into a fate that he's not foreseen. A fate of the Air King. And with that, let's get into our review of Aragear. Start off with music, and one of the more critically acclaimed parts of this series by a lot of different people that review anime and stuff like that has been the soundtrack of this series, and I have to absolutely agree with them. The soundtrack of this series is absolutely incredible. Opening, closings, and the overall score just completely is amazing. Again, it's that flashback effect of, again, taking me back to that aspect of, you know, the type of music I would listen to, you know, especially during Toonami, as, you know, again, it was also the age of the X Games and the Extreme and the Attitude Era, and for that matter, you know, the type of music I would listen to and hear while I was watching things like X Games, which this whole anime really brings me back to that whole feeling of watching the X Games, and for that matter, watching X Games in the late 90s, even early 2000s, was about, you know, inline skating, or extreme inline skating, for that matter, was still very, very popular. But let's start off with opening and closing. The opening song, Chain, is just an amazing piece of music. The band, which is a band that's, in my mind, very much like Linkin Park. At least similar sounds in the sense that, you know, we have the two sort of singers. One's more of a rapper, and one's more sort of the, I guess you could say, soul for singer. But, you know, it's just a really great song, really great rock rap track that really gets you pumped up. Even though you may not understand some of the lyrics, with rap, a lot of times it's, you know, how you make the words flow. That even if you're not understanding the words, you can feel sort of the beat and the melody within the words. And that's something that's really done really well in this song. You know, the melody track alongside of it is just awesome. It's a song that gets you just pumped up for the series, and it is a joyful listen to. It's one of my favorite opening themes of all time. And then the closing theme It's just great little ending theme that really matches the theme. And for that matter, the opening and closing theme both match this theme that we'll talk about, you know, again more during story, but, you know, I'll talk about throughout this review, you know, that theme of, you know, choosing your own path, you know, choosing your own way, alongside sort of this theme of sort of extreme inline sports, can you say, that really is entrenched here. And the closing theme really matches that, so does the opening theme. But you again, it's the perfect type of song for this type of series and this type of subject. You know, it's not some traditional sort of soft Japanese song. It's more of a soft sort of techno type of song. Da 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 pa 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 da pa 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 pa. Yeah, I'm doing a horrible job of singing it, but you know, it is got sort of this very nice beat to it. It's not as fast as a beat as, say, the opening. It's a little bit softer as well, but it just matches what the ending theme needs. And it's just a great song to listen to. It's one of those things where you watch both the opening and the closing just to hear the songs because they're that awesome. And then again, the score for the series overall, it's just this sort of, it's the type of music, it's rap and it's rock and it's really rap rock combined, sort of techno mixed in. It's the type of music that you would hear if you went to an extreme sporting event, like, you know, skateboarding or inline skating or BMX or the X Games for that matter and stuff like that. It really is that same music that I remember growing up with and listening to, especially when I would turn on something like the X Games. And it's one of these soundtracks to where you could probably add some of the songs. Like, I could feel like I could add the old X Games theme song here, you know. Da, 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 ba, da, 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 da. You know, you can feel sort of, I probably did a horrible job of singing it, but it's one of those things to where you can, you know, sort of feel sort of the influences of hip-hop and rock into the song when you hear it, and it's definitely something that would fit in here, because it is the same type of music. And it's just a really rocking soundtrack. It really enhances, again, on that theme of, you know, all the music. It's not music that feels out of place. You know, there's some great sort of soft melody pieces. There's a piano piece that's sort of played during sort of soft, more thinking moments. It's really, really good. But all of it really fits into this theme of, you know, choosing your own path and choosing your own road. And I really, really like it for that. Overall, the score is absolutely excellent. With that, let's move into animation. And we're going to start off with the overall style of Air Gear, which is the style of manga artist Ograte. And I thought Gonzo did a wonderful job really capturing the very shonen-esque as well, which is, I think, part of the reason the series is good, because I think the particular style that Ograte chose really lends itself to sort of more of a shonen feel, as we'll talk more about when we get to character designs. But shonen, but more grown up. I'm blanking on the word. I think it's shonen eye, or I'm blanking on it. I apologize, but yeah, it just sort of that not young man, but more young adult sort of feel action adventure series. But like I said, a lot of shonen elements in the art as well. I love the line work. And great use of color. Just a lot of great use of sort of those underground colors. You know, it's not just pink, it's sort of hot pink. And sort of different shades of sort of lime green. And, you know, you get those sort of neon colors in there and everything. And it's just some great designs overall. You know, the air treks themselves. I love them showing the mechanical designs in the animation. That is wonderful to look at. Let's move on to character designs, and let's start with Ikki. Again, like I said, those shonen elements, He's got spiky hair. It's showing an element right there. But really do like his design again because his character design really lends itself to that sort of shonen-esque type of lead character. And that includes his personality. You know, he's sort of the troublemaker with a heart of gold. And you check. And I do love his color palette. You know, I think his color scheme and color palette really wonderful. The red and the black, you know, sort of his everyday wear, but, you know, team jacket, sort of purple and black, you know, a lot of good use of black, I think, in this series, especially with some of the teams. I think it's really, really well, and I love those color schemes. Moving on to Ringo, I really like her as a choice, as sort of that first love interest. Sort of the red hair, you know, I think is a great, the darker red, I think is a great contrast with Simca's pink. Or she's a hot pink. But yeah, the red hair, the ponytails, the glasses, it really... It's hitting a lot of tropes, but it's hitting a lot of tropes well. And it's using them well. And it, I think, creates a great sort of heroine for the series. A great sort of romantic foil as well. At least character design-wise, for Ikki. And I love the fact that they don't make her bust too big. I mean... There are women in this series that have big busts, and there are women that don't. And it, hers, along with Simca's, for that matter, is kind of in the middle. I mean, she's smaller than Simca's, but it really is in the middle. And it just makes her seem like sort of that everyday girl, that girl next door quality to her that I think really, really helps her character work. Speaking of Simca... love the color scheme, the sort of the whites, the greens, and the pinks. I think they work perfectly for Simca. I love that hat. I love her character design much more before she cuts her hair. And I do like the joke that they do in the series to where near the end where it's like, I'm having second thoughts about cutting my hair like this. No refunds, Spitfire then says. But, you know, he's a hairdresser as well. But yeah, I do love the earlier version. I love that hat. I think that really completes the outfit that she wears most of the time. That's sort of the pink hair, and that's, you know, that sort of classic sort of girl. Sort of, I don't want to say fantasy girl, but it is that sort of trope, you know, the cute girl with pink hair. Again, this is something this series does. This series does a lot of these tropes that you've seen shonen. And for that matter, edgy and sort of harem series. But it does them very, very well. And they work. And they fit the series. So I really don't have a complaint about them. But it definitely matches those tropes. I hate actually using the word trope because I think that's another one of those world words that has become bad. Unfortunately. But yeah, with Simca, again, really, really good character design. Team Kokoratsumaru. Down the line, you know, Kazuma, again, he's sort of that great sort of rival slash sort of best friend type of character, at least design-wise. You know, whereas Ikki has those dark reds and blacks and the purples and everything, his color scheme, you know, outside of when he's not wearing a uniform, is a lot more lighter than him. And I think that presents a great contrast as far as character designs between him and Ikki. Onagi, again, just sort of the... almost a mascot character, but, you know, provides some great insight throughout the series of holding his own in certain points. But yeah, as a comedy character, it's a great design. Anytime you do short and fat for a comedy character, I think it's an instant win. Bucha, again, just the idea of this, again, this very tall, very big person who can, you know, really doesn't have that much body fat. It's, you know, as they explain in the series, it's blood that's pooled, but, you know, when he needs power, he redistributes it. And so the switch between those two body types, I really like. I think it's very interesting. And the overall feel that they give of him of, you know, a tank, you know, which they do constantly in the series, I think it, you definitely feel that from his character. And again, just, I think, an overall great design, sort of the striped shirt, I think works really well with his character design when he's in the school outfit. The headphones, I think, are a great touch. And the same can be said for Akito and Agito. Again, you know, yes, is there fan service for guys? But there is fan service for girls, you know, presenting the yaoi character, which we'll get more into later. But yeah, you know, the orange sort of straight jacket, I really love that design. It's really a unique and interesting design. That with the eye patch and the blue hair, just great use of colors. You know, blue and orange really work well together. And if you don't believe me, look at the Florida Gators. Hell, look at my high school, because those were my high school colors. Orange and blue works really, really well. And then combine the white of the eye patch, I think it just really sets that color scheme for that character perfectly. And it's overall, again, all these characters are just so different from each other, yet they complement each other. And I think that's another reason why this anime works. And then there's Sleeping Forest, which is the four sisters. We already talked about Ringo, but Miken, Ume, and Rika, they're all, again, it's that aspect that also worked with Team Katsumaru. I can't speak tonight, so I apologize for messing up that name. But that different dynamic of all of them that makes them all unique, that really makes them work. So the tomboyishness of Miken, alongside, you know, also when sort of they're, you know, riding the Sleeping Forest, which we only see once, their sort of air trek here looks really good as well. But, you know, again, tomboyish, almost sort of sports-esque look of Miken, the very sort of lowly goth look turned on its head, which it really is, because it's not like she's in furry clothes or anything. She's in this plain white shirt, and she's sort of got these green-white striped socks. But, you know, she's doing sort of lowly goth things, but done twisted on his head using more neon colors, which I think is a really interesting idea for a character and works really well. And then Rika, again, with her character design, you definitely feel the maternal aspects of her character, and it really helps her character, I think, succeed as far as its character design. And then we have others, and just, there's just a lot of good, you know, a lot of good team designs, you know, or from the team that present, I guess, has a bull as its mascot. And I'm sorry if I'm blanking on some of these team names. The Palm Tigers with that sort of Jet Li-esque look and the helmets, it really pops out. And of course, the female leader also really pops out. But again, that's a story for later. And yes, that was an awesome scene. The sort of the dog team, also really well. All sort of teams, Behemoth and Trident, all of these teams, and sort of the designs of the teams, I think really, really work. Overall, with the clothing styles of a lot of the characters you see, again, really matching that overall sort of underground style. And again, it just enhances the series and really brings you in deeper to the anime and sort of the theme of the anime. And the setting of the anime as well. Let's move on to special effects. And I thought the special effects were really, really well handled in this series. You know, you had sparks and you had smoke. And you had tons of stuff being used in this series. I thought the animation for a lot of that was really, really handled well. It really fit the animation, flowed into the animation, and felt a part of the animation. So again, it didn't stand out, but that's the whole point of what it shouldn't do. I mean, it looks beautiful and looks nice and really enhances the scene, but it shouldn't stand out like, oh, this felt like it was put on top to add effect. It felt like it was a part of the original animation, which I thought was really, really well done. And then the backgrounds, and just, I think, a very, very good use of backgrounds. You have the town, you have the city, and just the different type of landmarks they come up with, I thought were really, really well done. I mean, in the same point in time, it is sort of those typical backgrounds that Gonzo is known for. And it's not quite Kaleido Star type backgrounds, which are really, really good. But they are very good backgrounds. Unfortunately, I think the backgrounds are the weakest point of the animation for Air Gear. But that's only because I think everything else animation-wise is done so extremely well that that makes the backgrounds the weakest by default. With that being said, that is it for animation. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a couple promos for you, and when we come back, we're going to get into acting and story.
Hello, boys and girls. It's your dear old Uncle Joker. We've got an internet access here in Arkham, so I'm doing a little browsing. Lolcats, porn, lolcats. What's this? Bailey's Batman Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast devoted to everything Dark Knight Detective. Well, Michael Bailey, where's Bailey's Joker Podcast, eh? We'll see about that. Harley, get our things. We're going to Georgia.
Hey everyone, Michael Bailey here asking you to check out my bi-weekly internet radio show, Bailey's Batman Podcast. Or at least I'm asking you to check it out while you still can, until the Joker shows up on my doorstep. Bailey's Batman Podcast is a hodgepodge type show where I discuss all aspects of the Dark Knight's history. Comics, movies, animation, even trading cards and action figures. Everything Batman-related is fair game, and yes, that does include the villains, which includes the Joker, so he won't kill me. New episodes drop every other Tuesday over at www.baileysbatmanpodcast.com. The site also has links to the iTunes page, the RSS feed, my Twitter handle if you're into the social media thing, and the Bailey's Batman Podcast Facebook page. Bailey's Batman Podcast is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Connection, which you can find at batmanpodcastconnection.wordpress.com. I really hope that's the UPS guy. Why can't I have Batman in my basement?
I guess you weren't so tough after all, were you? Now it's time to send you to the next dimension.
291 original episodes.
This can't be! It's still going up!
325 manga chapters.
You act innocent, but you're deadly.
Time to die!
Dozens of characters, hundreds of enemies, and a whole lot of violence.
That kind of violence is pointless!
You see, Super Saiyans tend to be a bit violent.
Oh, crap!
Join hosts Donovan and Jesse as they cover the arrival of the Saiyans, the journey to Namek, the battle with Frieza, the mystery of the androids, and the terror of Majin Buu. The Next Dimension, a Dragon Ball Z podcast. Join the fight at dbznextdimension.libsyn.com.
See ya.
Gathered together from the far reaches of the internet are assembled a network of podcasts dedicated to the first and greatest superhero, Superman. The Superman Podcast Network is dedicated to covering all aspects of the Superman legend, featuring
The Thrilling Adventures of Superman,
Golden Age Superman,
The Superman Fan Podcast,
Superman in the Bronze Age,
From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast,
The New 52 Adventures of Superman.
I've got a few things to say about Superman.
The Carousel Podcast,
The Superman Vidcast,
The World's Best Podcast,
and
Radio KAL from supermanhomepage.com.
Join hosts
Michael Bradley,
John Wilson,
Billy Hogan,
Charlie Niemeyer,
J. David Weider,
Jeffrey Taylor,
Michael Bailey,
Scott Gardner,
Danny Sapp,
Cayman Stoll,
I'm Isaac,
I'm Adam,
Dave Yunus, and co-host Scotty V.
at supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
And welcome back, and let's get right back into it with acting, of course, we have our protagonists and antagonists. And like any good shonen-like series, the antagonists soon become protagonists. So I don't think there really is any antagonists to speak of outside of maybe the Skull Staters, which are done really, really well. But for the most part, the acting in this series is really, really well done. Again, it's an ADV done. I can't speak tonight. It's an ADV dub, even though right now this is currently licensed by Funimation. It's one of those series that was rescued by Funimation that was formerly owned by, or at least the license was, by ADV. And they kept the ADV dub because, you know, the same voice actors they use anyways. Which is very, very happy, or at least makes me very, very happy, because very, very happy for me is not the proper way to say that term. I know there can't be any English majors that listen to my show. I have to drive them absolutely up the wall. But, you know, again, just Chris Patton, Lucy Christian, you have two of the big three of ADV. Well, shoot that. Greg Anderson is, so you've all three of the big three of ADV. What the hell am I talking about? They're all in here. It's just that Greg Ayers isn't a major character. He's a major character, not just a major character. He's a supporting major character, where Lucy and Chris are voicing major characters. But them, along with the others, do a wonderful job. Chris Patton just nails the voice of what Iggy should be. You know, just that devil-may-care, troublemaker attitude. He captures it perfectly, and he brings you into that character. Lucy, just, she has this ability, you know, even though really she has sort of a, I mean, when you hear her voice, I mean, with the exception of her doing the kid voice, her kid voice, and then she has sort of her adult voice. And so when you hear her voice, you know it's Lucy Christian, but she just, it just shows you her acting ability that she tweaks it just a little bit. And even though you know it's Lucy Christian, it is that same thing as well to where you, it's also that character and she pulls you into that character. So wonderful job by her. Monica Rial is Simca. You know, just the fact that I'm more, and I don't think I'm thinking of Hillary Hagg. I think I'm somebody else. But a lot of times I'll hear Monica Rial, you know, as sort of the cutesy voice. So whenever I get to see her as more of the sensual type of her voice, it's a nice change from seeing her, you know, usually portray, you know, younger types, sort of children types that they usually do with her voice. You know, for instance, like, I'm blanking on the name, but the manager from Sekiri is a perfect example of that. It's just a, you know, nice change of pace from what she usually does. And same thing here. Really a great job of adding a bit of sensuality into her voice for Simca. And you can completely understand why EQ wants to, you know, go after her, you know. But just creates a great character. Jay Hitman. I don't know why they went with an Australian accent. But, yeah, just a, it definitely created a dynamic character. You know, there are people that hate, you know, accents. I love accents, because, again, I think it shows sort of the depth of the art form that the voice actor can do. Because, again, remember, these are voice actors. Keyword there is actors. They're trying to portray a character. And if they're having a character that is Australian or from England or from some other country, I'd much rather there be an accent than, you know, oh, I'm from French, I'm supposed to be French, and I'm supposed to not know English, yet I'm speaking, like, Texan. You know? I'd much rather have an accent, and, you know, if it's about people being offended, you know what, I guarantee you, the Australians are not being offended. The French are not being offended, and the English aren't being offended. Because if they're offended, then I need to be offended by the way they portray Americans. But no, Jay Hickman does a wonderful job as Spitfire. No. Greg Ayers again hits a comedic character perfectly. Blake Shepard, who at the time of this series was relatively new to the industry. I think this was like only his second major role. I know his first major role was a series known as Mabaraho, and I know that because it's actually one of my favorite series, and I have the complete series. But he did a wonderful job with this character. You know, just great job. You know, having to do really two different voices is really, really hard, and he was able to pull it off. And then all the other voices, you know, Mark Lowski, you know, Bucha, again, a very distinct voice that really, I think, brought out that character. And, of course, the sisters, and was played by Hilary Hagg, Shelley Colleen Black, Christine Alten. Again, wonderful job with those sisters. Again, distinct voices. And that's the thing. Even if you've heard these voice actors before, here, they really made them distinct and really made you bought into the character that they're playing. So, there was a great job there. And then again, a lot of the more funnier voices, which I don't have which actors played which, but, you know, again, a lot of times when you Aeon Flux guy, and like the Airtrack team leaders that, you know, Iki will meet, that eventually become friends, you know, like the Palm Top Tigers and that stuff, and yada yada. Which makes it sound like I don't care, but it's like, I didn't put them down because they're major characters and I thought I'd remember them and I didn't, so shame on me. But all the other characters did a wonderful job doing voice work. It really is a good dub. The dub is definitely a strong point for this series. So with that, let's move on to story, and let's talk about the overall theme of this series. As I've said before, I really feel that the overall theme of this series, because they do keep nailing it into your head, it's not that, you know, oh my god, stop talking about it type of thing, but they do say it a lot of times, you know. They talk so much about, you know, Iki's path and him choosing his own path and him having the path to the Sky King. You know, it's really easy to see that this series is, in general, the theme is about, you know, choosing your own way, choosing your own path, going down your own path, and being yourself. You know, that's the key point. You know, Iki talks about constantly he's happiest when he just pulls off a great trick. It's not even about winning or losing. It's about, I did this trick that I never was able to do before, and it's awesome, you know. That sort of oblivious state, that feeling of freedom, of just flying that Iki loves, that's when he's happiest, and that's when he's himself. And so again, that overall theme you feel here of, you know, being yourself. And it's a theme that's done really in a fun way. I joke about the fact that it is talked about a lot and really in your face, but at the same point in time, it is something that's done in a fun way, to the point to where, even though it is talked a lot, it doesn't become overbearing. It doesn't feel like they're really hitting you in the face. But again, you see it with all the different characters, you know, with Iki, you know, with Kazuma, with Ogani, with Bucha, with Akito and Agito, you know, with Ringo, with Simca, you know, all of them are chasing down their path, whatever they feel their path is, to be themselves. And I, you know, I really do like that theme overall. You know, I love themes of, you know, being yourself and chasing down your own path. At the same point in time, it is a very shonen type of path. Again, the shonen aspects of this series really coming to fruition, especially in its theme. They're all over the place. They're in the art, they're in the theme, in the story. They're into voice acting. They're into music. really showing that this is really not a shonen because it's not for young boys, but it is for, I think, young men in the sense of it being an adventure story as well. Let's talk about Ikki and the other characters and their motivations and growth of the series. One thing I really like about this series is that they do show the motivation. They're constantly talking about the motivation, as I said before, and they're constantly showing the growth of the characters. You know, Ikki, you know, obviously being the main character, you know, they constantly show him growing and getting better at air treks, which I really, really like. But it's not in sort of the obvious way you would think. You know, they also show him being intelligent and learning and finding new ways to do things. You know, for instance, at the end, you know, oh God, how is he going to do this jump? Only to find out, oh, he's going to do it by riding the shockwave of the Fang Regalia from Akito. which I thought was right. It's funny because it's an intelligent idea. It's also so Ikki. You know, to an extent, kind of a, you know, slap in the face of authority. He would, you know, end up doing it himself, but, you know, again, you know, just that part of it, even though it was to an extent him cheating and it forced him to have to do it the right way, still, it was, that sort of showed his creativeness. At the same point in time, again, using that same, that last trick, again, him doing it himself and eventually breaking the record. Again, also shows his honesty, which I really, really like. Kazuma, again, him growing to find his path and his motivation, the fact that he does like to run. Each of the characters finding their own road as they talk about. You see that growth that I really, really like. You see the growth between Simka and Ika. You see the growth between Ringo and Ika. Or Ikki. I don't know why I'm saying Ika. Ikki. Excuse me. I apologize. But you see the growth between the characters. And I enjoy that very, very much. With that, let's move on to the third point. And this is the point that really helps the series. Because they do spend a lot of time throughout the series talking about, you know, finding your road and that stuff. But if they were just talking about stuff, it would be boring. What really helps this series along and makes this series a joy to watch is the comedy. They have it. This is a comedy series through and through. Yeah, there's a shonen aspect to it, but it is a comedy series. Just the fan service, the comedy. This series makes me laugh. You know, thinking back to it, my favorite has to be, there is an episode where Ikki, Kazuo, and Ogari has to pass this test if they want to graduate. And their teacher, who's sort of a ditz, trying to help them steal it to pass them. But the idea is, not the idea, but the basic whole concept of the episode is she wants him to, or Ikki, to ride up the wall of the clock tower of the school to help try to make the clock tower run again, which he does. But there's just a scene at the edge where it's like, here's the test. You're an evil teacher. Yes, I am. The test. Oh, God. Make me laugh. I mean, there's tons of, and look, there not only is there, in this case, I'm going to talk about the ecchi fan service here, but not only is there male ecchi fan, there's ecchi fan service for the girl. They have two guys kissing and sleeping together, taking baths together. And just the obvious fact that Akito is obviously in love with Ikki and constantly hanging over him and cross-dressing into a bride's dress. There is just as much fan service for fangirls, especially yaoi fangirls, as there are for guys. So I don't want to hear anybody complain about that, but all of that is just funny as hell. In your face, sort of rude, crude type of comedy, which I think really, really works for this series and makes this series good. I find myself laughing constantly. And again, it's one of those things to where the theme and sort of the more serious aspect of the story don't feel too forced and don't feel like they're hitting you over the head with it because of the comedy, because the lightheartedness of the series, it doesn't feel too forced. And it allows you to enjoy the theme and enjoy the motivations and growth of the characters. If there is, though, a sort of fatal flaw of this series, and that is that it ends. It does end after, a major story arc with them defeating Trident. But at the same point in time, it does end. And at the time, this series was made, it was closely tied to the manga, at least where it ended. It just never got renewed for more seasons. And unfortunately, that, in the long run, hurts this, because you do have so much more of the manga that goes on. And, you know, the story itself, as far as into the plot, there's a lot of twists and turns about who's on Iki's side and who's not, and how different people are manipulating people, and people die, later on in the manga. Popular characters that have been there since the beginning die. And that really, I think, hurts the series in that sense, that the fact that, it just feels incomplete if you know that there is more to the series. I would love to see somebody in Japan continue Air Gear, or maybe even restart it and, do a new anime that, longer and follows more of the story. I've said the same thing about... It really is the same thing of Negima. Well, in this case, this follows the manga a lot more closely than the first Negima anime did. But again, also with Negima, it is that thing of, this is, to an extent, this is a shonen series. And it really should have an anime that is, 100, 200 episodes, whatever it needs to be, to basically follow each chapter of the manga. Kind of like Naruto does. And even here, you don't even have to worry about needing 100 episodes of filler, because, you have both Negima and Air Gear complete as manga. I mean, just recently, Ograte completed the Air Gear manga. So it's one of those things where the ability is out there, it just has to be somebody who does it. At the end of the day, this is a very, very good series. It's very enjoyable. The comedy is hysterical. Whether it be in the form of sort of ecchi fan service, whether it be just straight up, comedy and sort of classic sort of comedic tropes. And for that matter, the fan service, normal fan service, where they're talking about air treks and stuff like that, is very enjoyable as well. And the overall theme is a theme that everybody can get into. The art is very wonderful. The music is outstanding and definitely is the strongest point of the series, while at the same time not overpowering, the story. It still is a series that is completely dependent on the sort of its theme and the funness to enjoy its theme. Characters are really well drawn out and done in a... And Gonzo does a great job of capturing the characters from the manga. It's a very enjoyable series. And this is definitely a series, I think, especially now with what Toonami is allowed to do and allowed to put on, I definitely see this as a series that could succeed on Toonami. It definitely caters to that sort of, not only Toonami crowd, but that sort of Adult Swim, hit you in the face, crude comedy type of crowd. So at the end of the day, 4 out of 5 for me, for Air Gear. Definitely good series. Definitely pick it up. Or for that matter, if you have Netflix, watch it on Netflix. So that is it for my review of Air Gear. I hope you enjoyed that. Remember, if you have any comments, fan mail, or anything you want to leave me, remember there are several ways you can do it. You can leave me an email at absolution132@yahoo.com. You can also leave us a message on Facebook. which you can find by going to Facebook and searching for The Absolution Network. Like us and leave us a message there. And, of course, you can always leave us a message on the site itself, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. And while you are there at the site, remember to check out all our friends. You know, Mean Gene's new anime, which unfortunately has gone on hiatus for a bit, so Gene can watch some more anime. But, you know, again, check that out. Random Redbox Reviews that you can find at www.randomredboxreviews.com. And just information for anybody out there that might be interested, Chris is still looking for a third person to join the crew. So, you know, right now that are, again, go to the site, and if you're interested, contact him, let him know. There's, of course, the Otaku Momentum right here on the Absolution Network. Check them out. And, of course, all the other podcasts that I do, which includes Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast, that you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, my Comic Book Crazy podcast network that has several different podcasts, including Hexcast and Comic Book Crazy. You can find that at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And, of course, while you're at the site, really check out all our friends that you can find on the sidebar of the site. They do great stuff. This, of course, includes Michael Bailey's Views from the Long Box and From Crisis to Crisis that he does with Jeffrey Taylor, along with his newly revamped and relaunched Bailey's Batman podcast. Brad Douglas's Spider-Man Crawl Space. Steven Schleicher's Major Spoilers podcast, which, of course, includes the Major Spoilers podcast, Critical Hit, Top 5. It's all on that site. A lot of great podcasts. And, of course, Scott Gardner's Two True Freaks, which, you know, include things like Star Wars Monthly Mondays, Star Trek Monthly Mondays, Comic Book Monthly Mondays, as I'm sure you heard with all the promos that I played for him, and tons of other podcasts that are a part of the 22 Freaks podcasting network. And of course, the other friends we have here on the sidebar off the site. Check them all out. They do wonderful stuff. And that is it for this episode of Tom's Prerogative. The next thing you'll probably see on the site, again, is the AN special. I'm going to leave the topic a surprise. You'll just have to click the, when it comes out, you just have to click it and find out what we're talking about there. But I'll have I have a special guest on for that special where we sort of talk about something that deals with the Toonami generation. As for the next Tom's Prerogative review, I'm just going to leave that as a surprise for you to find out when you tune in to the next episode of Tom's Prerogative. So until next time, my Toonami generation, stay golden.
A cursed samurai. You have succeeded again in eluding my effort, but I am not worried. For one day you will fail.
By DJ Clark Nova. Don't sleep on it.